Hello, welcome to the 5280 podcast. Strap on and have a good time.
From the 5280 Studios Weekend Geek Update Special Report. Smurf here with, well, you've been seeing our tags recently. In fact, since the beginning of the year, we have been proudly sponsored by Rocky Mountain Con. And with that comes certain privileges, if you will. I have across from me longtime friend, longtime listener, and proud sponsor of Weekend Geek Update, Tim, the head honcho, the man about town, the kingpin, if you will, of Rocky Mountain Con.
Kingpin, was that a fat joke?
No.
Oh, okay. I'm just checking. I mean, I can shave, I guess, my head. We can go with it. But
did you watch any of the Kingpin? With the Daredevil and the...
I did. I actually enjoyed it. I'm excited to see what they do with the Defenders.
I don't know. Because I tried watching Iron Fist and I couldn't get into it.
No?
No. Cage was painful. Jessica Jones was great. It was weird seeing David Tennant play the Purple Man.
Exactly.
But I have to agree with Red, which brought this up, that the sexual tension between Punisher and Paige is a hell of a lot more present than Matt or Foggy or anybody else.
Oh, yeah. I don't disagree with you at all on that. I just think that having it on Netflix gives it a nice little... At least they can make it a little bit more about what it's supposed to be about.
It's edgier.
Yeah.
Because we've been watching... Did you watch American Gods?
I have not seen it yet.
America. It's really artsy. It's Neil Gaiman in unicorn blood sprinkled on him, and he's dancing around. I don't know what to think about American Gods, and I think it needs to be a Netflix series. It really would make more sense. How many Daredevil episodes did you watch back-to-back?
When the first season came out, I watched all of them. And then the next, I've just kind of like slowly went through them. But I went through the whole first season.
Just power.
Straight, yeah. Just one weekend. Just to try and figure it out. I mean, if I had to pick, I actually thought Jessica Jones was probably the best out of all of them. And then, I don't know. I thought Daredevil was actually probably the weakest of all of them, in my opinion. That's just me.
I didn't like the first season.
Yeah.
It wasn't until we got into some of the grittier second seasons with the Punisher stuff. But I do... I don't know. Maybe it's just that I don't care for the Iron Fist Power Man combo. I know the geek verse is going to get lit on fire for that one. I get it. But
his address is... Oh, wait. No.
But they tell me a major villain that these two... heroes for hire have. What? Who's their biggest threat? You know, the pimp down on the corner? As much as I like Danny Rand, and I like that they brought him into the animated Spider-Man, which is now getting revamped, well, that's another story.
Yeah.
I don't know, the dynamic of all of them together, who do you think that they haven't unveiled for Defenders would you like to see? Because, I mean, if we're going to do... I mean, because right now the Defenders are basically, are they doing Daredevil, Iron Fist, Jessica Jones, and Cage?
Cage, yeah. That's who they're putting on the show.
That's not our Defenders, but, I mean,
yeah.
Okay, they can't have any mutants, but out of that group, who would you like to see in the mix with them? Who are they missing?
Well, the problem is just with the way they've done it. Like you said, it's rights and who can go where and what can be done. I mean, you know, the Defenders, to me, I go back to more of the original team and the people that were on there. And they can't use any of them.
No, I mean, they can't use Strange.
No.
I mean, later the Champions became the Defenders, so we get Iceman and Beast in there, I think, and Ghost Rider.
Yeah, but you can't, I mean... You can't really move Ghost Rider over because
he's on already, S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, you've got him on S.H.I.E.L.D.
And you can't get Doctor Strange, as awesome as it would be to have Benedict Cumberbatch on a Netflix series. I think he would do it, honestly. I mean, he does Sherlock.
Oh, I think he would do it in a heartbeat. I mean, especially with the amount of fans that have gone crazy over those shows. I think and it would be amazing to see him, you know, the Defenders show up there
with Doctor Strange.
You know, and he's just like opens the door or something on, you know. It's like, like, what do you want? Get off my lawn, kid, or something.
Yeah. Get off my lawn, kid. It is. I mean, he does. I mean, he has shown up at multiple comic shops dressed as Doctor Strange during the filming in New York, which was great. I mean, he's not Johnny Depp over the moon crazy, but he definitely gets into his roles. Because I was watching the filming of Hobbit, where they did the motion capture for him as Smaug.
Yes.
And I mean, he's like throwing himself on the mats and just, you know, running around like a lizard. I mean, that man is great.
Yeah.
You should get him as a guest.
Sure. As soon as you hand that check over, I'll be more than glad to.
Tony Stark it right now. Here we go. Because it's just, I don't know. I'm hoping that the Netflix series does well. I just want to see another Jessica Jones, to be honest with you. Daredevil, yeah. I'm going to... Punisher, I want to see. Punisher, I really, really want to see.
I want to see it because I want to see a little bit more than what we saw already. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. I want to see really kind of where their take... I mean, we have a background story. We know who he is. I think, you know, John does a great job acting as the Punisher. I mean, it's probably one of the closest Punishers to what I get from reading the comic books, the way he kind of plays it.
So which Punisher that you prefer then? Him, John, or Jane, the one that played him in the first Punisher film? Thomas Jane.
Yeah, you know, I think John plays it more the way I read it in the comic books, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. So you're going like the Frank Miller style?
Yeah.
Okay.
See, I like that. I like that kind of gritty, dirty Frank Miller style. And I got a little bit more of that. I think Thomas Jane could have done a great job with it, but I think it honestly was script and them kind of not letting it go to that point.
And I would agree, because they did the story that they used was one of my favorite stories for the Punisher, with the Russian and all of that, because they took some Kevin Nash. They took some key components from one of my favorite series for Punisher, but it was missing kind of like that 90s style, you know,
the grit.
Punisher Journal. And I really want to see some people get hurt. I really do.
Yes.
Because Daredevil's kind of a Nancy.
Yeah.
Let's face it.
Oh, yeah. I don't disagree with you whatsoever.
So, and yes, it is an enableism joke. He's a Nancy.
Ableism, not enableism.
Oh, yes.
These are different concepts.
Some of them are. I'm cut off, and I just barely started. So now, with the mention of guests, you have a multiple number of guests that you'd like to announce. We'll start with one. We'll start at the ground floor and we'll work up to the ultimate one.
Okay.
So last year, before we get to that, how did you feel at the close of last year's con? Because I mean, personally, and Red and I have both spoken about this, how phenomenal the guest lineup was. Adrian Paul, phenomenal. Wesley Shipp was brilliant. We had Michelle on the podcast from Flash as well. In my mind, that was a home run for a comic book convention. That was comic book centered. There were artists. And I drank with Bosk. Okay. Red made out with him.
Wow.
Alan, he's quite the ladies' man. Where were you during all of this?
Working? No. someday I'll be able to actually do things other than run the show. But I think at the end of last year, when I sat back and I looked at it, I thought we really put on a good show. that catered to a little bit of everybody. We mm-hmm. had a few cosplay guests. We had a few of the celebrity, the right number, I think, of celebrity guests. And I know that's a big thing going on right now, and everybody has their own opinion of what they want out of a show. But when I sit down and I really start putting the show together, you know, you always have your hit list of people. Oh, I want this person,
yeah,
this person. And then it falls through, and then that falls through, and you keep going through and going, here's who. I think that last year, you know, a lot of things just really fell into place. We had great guests. I mean, like you said, Alan Harris, I mean, amazing guy. I could have talked to him the whole weekend and not let anybody else talk to the guy.
Oh, it was easy to do because we're sitting at the bar in the corner and Red's talking to him, Brett, me, Smitty shows up, and all we did was sit there and drink and talk, and he had the most entertaining stories. I mean, it was holy crap. And he's buying us drinks. And we're like, no, we got that. Nope. I got this. What you drinking? And of course he comes to me and I got my vodka cran. He's like, what the hell is that? And he starts making fun of my drink.
Yep.
He had never heard of a vodka cranberry.
He's from Women or Men.
Shut up. So it's a huge hit, and I know what you mean as far as celebrity guests overshadowing other guests, and it just kind of seems to shorten it up. So I think it is the perfect mix.
Yeah.
So everything hit on the right cylinder then.
Yeah, I think it really did. I come out of every year, and there's always stuff we can do better. I mean, that's any show that tells you, oh, we couldn't do it any better. It's probably not a show I want to go to the next year because it's going to go down real quick. To me, it's about trying to make it better for the community every year. I want to bring in the comic book people. I want to really push that. I want to make sure that that's still a center of what we do is that. And the celebrity guests are nice add-ons. They're great. You know, people are going to pay money to see them. I mean, I get that. I understand that part of it. But let's find those guests that kind of fit into the geek.
The niche?
Yeah, the genre that you really want, either comic-related or sci-fi or anime-related guests. Let's find those people that really do that. you know, with adding in of Tacticon this year with RMC, we're really trying to bring a lot more interactiveness to the show, I guess is the word I'm looking for. So we're going to have a lot more stuff going on. We're going to have everything. And the nice thing about it is your ticket gets you everything.
Yeah, you're not paying anything special. No pass for this, no pass for that. You're not nickeling and diming them. Flat fee. Everybody's good. Now, Tacticon, if you're not aware, is a gaming established convention that over the years has kind of lost its draw because it conflicts with just about everybody. Every year they've tried to move Tacticon, they're getting their ass handed to them by another con that's going on. And it's like, well, crap. So Tacticon, now will they have their own section, or how are they broken out into Rocky Mountain Con?
So if you're familiar with our venue, which is the Crown Plaza off I-70 in Chambers, there's going to be some parts of it that we do intermingle. But for the most part, they'll kind of have the upper part for the gaming and things like that. We'll have the amphitheater there at the Crown for our actual panels. And then down in the convention space area, we will have a couple things set up in one section that are going to be kind of gaming related, and I can't say kind of, you know, we're looking at, we will have a, you know, a $10,000 to win esports tournament going on. So
what's the game?
I can definitely give you more information later on.
That is a beautiful teaser right there.
Yes, but it is
a cash prize.
Yes, it will draw teams in from all over the world, because it will be also a last chance qualifier for another major tournament going on.
Oh, you said esports, so it's not Gears, because I know Gears is running a competition and I'm trying to get qualified. Damn it. Wow. Okay, that's huge.
Yeah, so that's a huge thing on the gaming side, and that's something that, you know, people are going to be able to come in. We're going to have a LAN center, so we're going to have gaming on that video gaming side, which is kind of new, really, on this scale for both of us.
Mm-hmm.
But it was something that we felt could really help out, could really work, could really do. So, you know, having that is a beneficial thing for us at the show, and it adds more people can come in, watch pro gamers really play.
And when we, if you've never watched a pro gamer, it's one thing to watch somebody stream, but to watch a pro gamer who is endorsed, who has endorsements from companies, I mean, you'd be surprised, because they're like the upper 3 or 4% of gamers, and these guys are considered professional athletes in their field, and they make money. I mean, they make a buttload of money.
They make a lot of money doing this, and it's you're right. It's a show, and it's completely different watching somebody on Twitch and watching these guys really play and go at it, because it's entertaining. It's amazing the stuff these guys do.
Because, I mean, some of it, I mean, it's like full contact where all of a sudden things can happen so fast. You're like, holy shit, what the hell? Just because I've watched some of the Overwatch gaming, of course, Gears, which mm-hmm. I'm part of, and it is, I'm constantly just blown away about how skilled these people are. And yeah, it scares me.
Yep.
It scares me.
I wish I had the time like these guys do to practice.
Don't you?
I mean, they all live in a house together, most of these teams, and everything's paid for by XYZ or Monster or somebody, you know, and
God.
And that's what they get paid to do. So it's fun to watch, and they're great people, and
they take it very seriously. I mean, as seriously as anyone else in the sporting world, or as you would take your career.
Yep.
This is their world.
Yep, exactly.
And you don't talk shit to an accountant, because he will mess up your numbers. Don't talk shit to a gamer. He'll fuck you up.
Yep.
So we'll stay tuned, because the next, mm-hmm. whenever you're ready to announce,
yep.
we will have it here. So with that in mind, what is the first guest you would like to announce?
Well, I think the best way to start out is we will start with announcing our first media guest that we have coming in. We're very happy and very excited to announce Doug Jones will be joining us this year at the show. Doug is from Pan's Labyrinth, Hellboy. He has some other things coming that we can't necessarily talk about.
We can't vocalize yet.
Most people, if you search the web, you'll figure out what it is real quick. But we're really excited. Doug is one of the most interactive guests at a show.
Now, you've had him before.
No, we actually haven't had him.
Oh, okay.
But I have seen and you know, met Doug at other shows and watched him with just the guests and the people that come in.
He's very genuine.
He is.
And I've seen him. When did I see him? I want to say Chicago or New York. God, I don't know. I've lost track of how many places I've been. I want to say Chicago. And I did see him, because he was really, because he got like down, a kid came up to him. I mean, mm-hmm. I mean, he was a little guy. He got down like on both knees and like looked the kid in the eye. Just I was like, oh.
Yep.
I don't see that as often as I would like. I know people do it. Don't send me hate mail. But to see someone take the time to do that, it's inspiring almost.
It really is, especially when you look at all of the things that he's been a part of and what he's done and what he's doing. It's huge when you think of this guy gets out from behind the table, which is, you know, there are only a handful of people I know. Like last year, we had John Wesley Shipp. He every chance he could step out from the table,
he did it.
He did it. You know, this year with having Doug, it's kind of that same thing. He gets out there, he hugs his fans, he talks to his fans. And he doesn't have a problem talking to him about different things that he's doing. And that's really the guests that we look for. That's the guests we want. We want the people that are going to tell stories, the mm-hmm. people that are going to do things.
The only person that I have seen do it well, very well, is Barrelman.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, that man is just, he will bend over backwards for his fans. Just don't mess with his face.
Yeah.
He'll do anything else. Just don't mess with his face, he says. This is moneymaker right there. But, I mean, yeah, Shipp was – we couldn't even get him on the podcast because he didn't want to leave his table. He did not want to leave his table and leave his fans, or the possibility of missing someone coming up to his table for that interaction.
Yep. And that's just the way – when you can find those people, those are the people that we try to go after. Those are the people that we really look for, because that's what makes – that's what I feel sometimes makes a show a little bit different than other shows is – you can have more than a 2-second conversation where they don't even look you in the eye and they sign and pass the photo on to a handler. We want people to be there. We want people to be able to have an interaction and be able to talk to the people, you know, whether it's an artist or you know, a celebrity like this, or, you know, anybody.
And trust us when we say there will be a lot to interact with this gentleman in the months to come as the story unfolds, because you just don't know where this is going yet.
We do. It's awesome. I can tease it, though.
So who else you got on the burners?
Well, we want to go ahead and announce that we are very happy to have J. David Spurlock joining us. And for those of you that don't know, he is in charge of the Wallace Wood Estate. And having him come with the Wallace Wood Estate and Wallace Wood, all the artwork and everything that goes with that, is kind of a nice little add-in for people that are into Golden Age era stuff. Mm-hmm. That he really kind of fits into that era, bringing that stuff.
Because we haven't, I mean, you had the artist for Captain America, which I always forget the guy's name.
We've had last year we had Mike Zeck and Mike Golden.
Yes, Mike Golden, who is a great guy. And you just don't see some of the Golden Age guys at all. I mean, the Silver Age guys, I mean, trust me, I can see Perez any damn time, and I love seeing that man. But, I mean, those guys are still doing the rounds. Same with, you know, Neil Adams, Mike Grail. I mean, you get those. But when you get, like, the Golden Age guys, when I got to meet Jim Steranko, oh, my God, that was like, oh, it's the Fred Astaire of freaking comic books. This man just dances all over the place. Sinatra walked in the building. That is, and that is the same thing with Wood. I mean, that's huge.
Yeah, I mean, having him take over and be able to run the Wallace Wood Estate is a great thing, and he's still bringing that out to show that artwork and to show that stuff.
I can't believe he still got it.
So, you know, with Wallace passing, you know, having somebody kind of take that mantle and still hang on to everything and want fans to see it, mm-hmm. it's amazing, and it's really, really great. So
yeah, because I mean,
we're excited about it. We're really kind of excited to add him into the comics side of it.
Yeah, because it's like having the Frazetta girls when they show up, because they were here the last couple of years, and they're great when they bring, you know, all the Frazetta stuff out, because you just don't see it as much as you would like to. They start to, you know, fade because there's nothing new.
Exactly. I mean, that, you know, it's, if you can get a chance to see some of that stuff, it's always a great thing to see. It's one of those things where, you know, how much of it really exists?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how much of that really, really exists and is there? So, you know, that's a nice thing that we haven't announced anywhere. So that's kind of a good thing to be able to put out there. But there's more.
There's more.
We have more. As most of you guys know, we're really working on the comic side. So we've already announced Jeff Urshwood from Doctor Strange, mm-hmm. Actually credited in the movie,
which is justly deserved,
very much so. I mean, he's one of those. Him and Brunner are like the two big people that shaped the Doctor Strange universe.
They did,
you know, and then being able to, you know, have, you know, the local guys like Barry McLean Jr., who's working for Valiant. I mean, that's a, you know.
We had Barry on at Comic Fest this year.
Yeah.
Barry is a great, great source. I mean, that man bleeds comics. I cannot believe how addicted he is.
If you ever want to meet somebody, guys, that truly loves comics, loves getting up and putting, you know, pencil to paper, that's Barry.
That is
every
Barry.
Every day, bleeding ink every day, just to be able to be in the industry. And that's a good thing. You know, adding somebody like Rodney Ramos and his work for Marvel and DC, that's a good thing.
That's a very good thing.
You know, so we've been able to do that, you know. We always have Ron Fortier there.
It's true.
And and Ron considers RMC his home show, and to me that
I think he ends
huge.
The season on that, doesn't he?
Yes,
that's the end of his con. He looks
tells
to
everybody
that.
It's his home show. That's his show. That's the show he always goes to. And I was immensely proud and honored that Mr. Jigsaw 15 that just came out, mm-hmm. Mr. Jigsaw goes to a convention, and the convention happens to be Rocky Mountain Con. So it's kind of I'm in there, a few of the other people locally, you know, Rio Herrera's in there. So it's kind of funny to see us drawn in there. I mean, it's kind of cool to see all of that in there and to be able to see that. And what we've done with Ron is I've secured enough copies of Mr. Jigsaw 15 to actually put in every one of our VIP packs that are sold for the show.
Very
so
nice.
We'll get that. You can take it over.
I want an autographed copy.
We'll make it happen.
All right, I like
you
that.
Know,
I like
we'll
that.
Make it happen. you know, and then one of the areas that we really didn't push for a lot of years, or that we really just haven't brought in somebody for, was the real pinup style.
Right.
Which I do love the pinup style in the right forms, in the right places. So bringing in Francesco is another thing that I kind of was like, that's a pinup artist I want to bring in. And mm-hmm. his work's amazing. We're honored to have him come into the show. It's, you know, he's done a lot of work for all sorts of different companies and covers and things like that. All around great guy. So we're really good to have him. And in most cases, that would be a stellar comic lineup.
That's just you warming up, though.
Yeah, of course. because I want to have...
You are a comic book a junkie at heart.
Yes, yes. I am.
I mean, let's just cut to the chase. Addict, yes.
Mm-hmm.
You, like I, are a huge comic book enthusiast.
Yes, very much so. I love comic books. I've gotten into the real Silver Age stuff now. I'm really working on collection there. I mean, I have a walk-in closet, guys, full of comics. That's me. That's what got me into this. And that's what I love about it. But I felt we really needed to bring in somebody that I thought was a legend in the comic book industry. Somebody that I have felt really helped shape some of the universes that we see now. So when I looked at it, I thought, who's that person that we could bring in? I mean, there's, you know, right now that list is very small.
That is. So, I mean, right off the top of my head, I'm thinking shapes universes. So Jim Lee is good, but I think you got something a little bit better than Jim Lee.
Yeah, I think this person has really pushed legendary status.
Legend.
Yes.
Mic drop legend.
Yes. Boom. Legend. And I think that this person is one of the most interesting people to talk to.
Uh-oh.
Has tons of stories.
Oh boy.
And is more than glad to tell you each and every one of them if you give him the chance.
Well, you've already had Perez,
mm-hmm.
so it can't be him.
No,
because he will tell you every story.
Yes, amazing.
Amazing stories, but it's not Perez.
Nope.
DC?
No.
Marvel. Marvel legend.
Well, you know, maybe a little bit of both.
Maybe a little bit. He's crossed the streams. Who is he most famous for drawing? Who's his favorite? Or what would you recognize him for?
Nick Fury. Shield.
Are we talking about Steranko?
We are talking about Steranko.
Yes!
I felt that bringing in Steranko would be one of the big things for RMC because we can put Steranko in a little bit different setting than a major convention where you don't get that time.
And he wants that time.
And that's one of the reasons that when we sat down and we talked to him about doing this, he was so excited because he wanted to – he loves to be able to interact with his fans. He loves to tell those stories, and he wants to be able to do that. Just once again, when you're at a show with 100,000 people – and you're one of the guest of honors, you don't have that time except in the hour panel. And how many stories can you really tell in an hour panel?
You can't. Because it's directed. And everyone's fighting. And you never get the question that you want asked. So I'm going to ask it. Mm-hmm. Can I reserve a seat for Mr. Steranko on our podcast?
I would love to get him over there. So we're gonna make it happen.
Because this man, I have to tell you, because this story, I kid you not, this is the Sinatra of frickin' comic books. He is that frickin' smooth. This man, I walked away feeling good about myself because he's so frickin' cool. I love Steranko.
Yeah. If you ever get a chance, and please come down and take
you're
the
chance. You're going to get a chance.
to talk to him at the show. It really is amazing, and it's a throwback, and it throws you right back into that time of him drawing and dealing with, you know, all of the stuff, you know, the Ditko, Stanley, working with different people and hearing about different people, or they're against this person or that. His stories are amazing. And it throws
he was ringside
you in
to it. It is like going back into the 70s. The man still dresses like he's out of the 70s. I don't even know where he finds these clothes, but I mean, the man's still pimp-tastic looking, and he dresses like he's still in the 70s.
I think they roll him out for a show, and then they take him back to, because I just picture the guy living in Vegas or something, you know? And he just reminds me of that, like, Vegas mobster kind of guy. But he's amazing, and we all know what he's done and what he's meant for comics. So for us, it's a huge thing to have him.
He's a founding father of comics.
Yes.
I mean, he is, because X-Men covers freaking amazing. All of his horror stuff that he did, the Nick Fury stuff. I mean, the abstract art and the sci-fi and too many words fighting to get out of my freaking mouth at the same time. Because, I mean, the Nick Fury stuff is classic. I mean, it's so abstract. And I think it's everything that if you were going to put James Bond in a comic, that's what I would expect.
Yeah. Oh,
with
exactly
what he did.
I mean, how many people, I mean, basically, when you say Steranko, everybody starts thinking of all these things. And I mean, Captain America 113.
Yes.
I mean, the cover for Captain America 113, you know, of the statue and those are the things that I think of. Those are the comics I love. Those are the things. I mean, don't get me wrong. There are some great comic books out right now. Everybody has their opinion on what's going on or what's doing what. But these are the comics that shaped everything.
This is what everything's based off of.
So
this is the foundation right here.
Exactly, and that to me is what makes it.
Wow, that's huge. But I know you ain't stopping there.
No, we have some more, but you know, I think we need to maybe save that for maybe a little bit later. There's always stuff going on.
There is always stuff going on.
And we have a lot more. We have a lot more going on. I mean, we're gonna have all sorts of events. All sorts of we're gonna be adding in a lot of. One thing that we've never done is adding in a lot more nightlife.
Yes, because you're going to be doing some cosplay-oriented nightlife.
Mm-hmm.
Because you did that last year, sort of.
Yeah.
And that was actually a hit. I got out there in a Ghostbuster pack, and I boogied, I wiggled, I danced.
We're going to be doing some more of that. We're going to be doing some different things. We're working on trying to get, like, some different drinking/drawing stuff together,
which is a hit,
and it's fun. If you've never been to it, I mean, you know, we're working on trying to get some of the celebrities or some of the guests for, say, something as funny as Cards Against Humanity.
Oh, that would be fun.
You know, so I mean, something for people to come watch and just,
dude,
really laugh.
Get Steranko on a drink and draw.
Oh, I.
Oh my
that?
God.
It may go till 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Well, we just probably have to reopen the doors.
Just reopen. He never went to bed. Yeah, never went to bed.
But we're working. You know, we're working on a lot of things. We're glad to be doing that. We are working this year very heavily for charity with Aurora Public Schools,
which needs help.
Yes, and we're going to be trying to bring in some of the kids and stuff to be able to see a lot of this. And that's part of the reason we wanted to go to a 3-day event is, or 2.5 day, I guess I should say, you know, with
Friday afternoon,
yeah,
a warm up and then Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah. And I think that that'll really help us out. And we've got a lot of other things that we're really pushing for that as soon as it's signed, sealed, and delivered, you'll be the first one to know, man.
I like it. Well, we appreciate it. And if they're not following you on Facebook, where do they need to go?
If you go to Facebook, you can go to Rocky Mountain Con on Facebook. That's the best place. That's where we, besides here, that's where we announce all of our guests. That's where we'll be doing that. We also have our website, RockyMountainCon.com. Check us out there. And, you know, we'll be all over this weekend here in town doing some stuff. So
it's going to be a busy weekend.
Me. Yeah.
Oy, too busy. Tim, thank you so much for sitting in with us. Again, keep an eye peeled, an ear out there, because we will bring out everything that Rocky Mountain Con has to offer, because in the end, we are all stories. So make it a good one.